You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
Well, good evening, guys. Welcome to Men's Ministry, man. So blessed to have you here. Take a look around. Take a look around for a moment at all the men here in the church. Do you realize there were 120 men in the upper room, and Jesus changed the world with those 120 men? There is a lot more than 120 men here. There's several hundred men here tonight. And imagine what we can do if we set our hearts upon Jesus Christ, and for this next season of men's ministry, we commit to say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to embrace your call upon my life. I want to be just make you the Lord of my life in every avenue of my life. Imagine what we can do, what Jesus will do in and through us as we gather in his name, seeking his face, and putting our hand to his kingdom work that he has called us to. Amazing. We could transform Carlsbad. We could transform North County. We could impact the kingdom and the county in a powerful, powerful way. And so may it be more than just a dream. May it be a reality as we bring our hearts before the Lord. If you are new to men's ministry tonight, I want to say well done, man. Way to go making this a priority. Way to go signing up. I know that, hey, the pressures of work and everything else, it's there's a cost involved, and I want to let you know you have done a fantastic thing. We're thrilled that you're here, and I think you're really going to be blessed as you go through this study guide. It's going to help you get the most out of your Bible. You're going to be with a bunch of other guys in small group. We have large group teaching and then small group discussions, and in those small groups, that's a place to be real. You don't have to put on a front. You don't have to be like so spiritual. As a matter of fact, what we value is brokenness and humility. We're all sinners trying to follow a holy God, and we all need the grace of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. The title of the message tonight is Embracing the Call of God Upon Your Life. You'll notice on the back of your book, there is our Men's Ministry Manifesto. Take a look at it with me. This is our Men's Ministry Manifesto. And let me hear you read these things. The first one is that we would be men to who live to embrace the call of God upon our life. And that means that we realize that our life is not our own, that God created us for a purpose, and we're to know Jesus. We're to understand his mind and his heart. We're to learn his ways, and we're to be the sons that he's called us to be, sons of the kingdom. And when we embrace that call, it's a powerful transformation of life through Jesus Christ. The second part of that men's manifesto is that we would be men who are what? Builders of men. God has called you to be a disciple maker. That's not for the pastors to do that alone. God has called each of you to follow him and to be a leader by building other men. And when you start pouring in and building up others, it becomes part of your DNA. It becomes part of your character. This is the work that God wants to do in us. He transforms us this way so that we start emulating Jesus and we build others instead of just always building ourselves. We'll start with our wives. We'll start with our children, and we'll move on from there into our workplace and into our church and into our community. And we're going to take on this mindset of being a builder of other men. And the third part of our manifesto is that we be men who live to embrace the call of God, are builders of men, and men who show the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. This is what it means to embrace the call of God upon our life. And when you walk in it, there is a supernatural work that happens. You see, I want to encourage you, men, God is for you. He is for you. He created you to be pillars, to be men of substance, to be significant. And when you embrace that call, God is for you. And he will start opening doors up for you to expand your territories, to build your character, to build your sphere of influence, and to become a greater light for the gospel and for the kingdom. And so this is his calling upon your life. And I am thrilled. I love men's ministry. You guys have been part of men's ministry for a long time. You know, this is my heart. And do you know why it's my heart? Because my heart means nothing. But you know why it's my heart? Because it's God's heart. You are his men, and he's called you to be the spiritual leaders. And I want you to know you are in the dead center of God's will tonight. This is what he wants for you. And I'm going to ask you, I want you to commit yourselves, because there's four kinds of soils. And the cares of the world, and the riches of the world, and the worries of the world, and the busyness of the world, it chokes out the good seed, and it keeps you from being what God has called you to be. I want you to connect with some other guys in your small group tonight. I want you to exchange a couple phone numbers, send some texts to each other, encourage each other. You are your brother's keeper. What makes men's ministry great is not just to come to church and then leave and not build some relationships. Because it's a battle out there, is it not? Man, it is incredibly hard to provide for your family. It is incredibly hard to not get caught up in all the temptation of the world. I mean, there is temptations everywhere, from women in yoga pants to finances to drinking to pornography to anger to pride to it. The temptations are endless. And like the scripture says, we are like sheep led to the slaughter. But by the Spirit of God and our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, we are more than victors in Jesus Christ. Amen? So embrace this. We've got 8 weeks until our Thanksgiving break. I want to just encourage you. Set yourself a short-term goal. I'm going to be on. I'm going to encourage other men. I'm going to start bracing this men's ministry fast manifesto right now. I'm going to start building some of the guys in my group. I'm going to care for other men in my small group tonight. And I want to build some relationships because I want to take this seriously. I've done enough of church and just playing the role. No, I want to embrace this call. And I tell you, it's powerful when we do. We're going to look at a text tonight that's really going to illuminate this. Get your Bibles open and find your way to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Again, the subject at hand, the title, Embracing the Call of God Upon Your Life. How do you do it? What does it look like? I tried that before. Man, it didn't work. Hey, whatever you're thinking as you think about that, hold on to that. Let's look for a moment at what it means to embrace this call of God upon our life. And I think you're going to be really encouraged at what the Lord has for you tonight. A couple of quick things. Let's take a moment and thank Lloyd, our grill master, for putting that great meal together. Lloyd, thank you. There's a bunch of guys who worked hard to put all this together tonight from A to Z, and let's give them, all our men's leaders, a big hand. Appreciate you guys' leadership. And for all you veterans coming back to men's ministry, way to go, man. Seeing so many faces that were part of men's last year, and just love that you're back. And we created a study guide I think you're really going to enjoy. As I mentioned, it's going to help you get the most out of your Bible. And really cool session ahead of us. So commit to it, put your heart to it, put your hand to the plow, and don't look back. Remember Jesus' words. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back, oh, I just kind of want to go do my old life, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. It takes a focus that understands, Lord, there's no one like you. No one else that has the words of eternal life. No one else that can forgive me of my failures and champion me and strengthen me when I'm weak and give me the wisdom that I need to do my role in my family with my wife and my role with my kids and my career and my ministries that you give me. There's no way I can do this on my own, and no one else can give me the wisdom and the discernment. Lord, I'm calling upon you. And when we see that in the proper perspective, there's no way we would go back to leave Jesus and go back to the world. No one putting his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God. And blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears, blessed are your heart, for you've seen the things that many righteous men have longed to look into and weren't able to see them, but you're able to see it. And you're going to be able to embrace some great things in Jesus Christ. The story we're looking at tonight is Jesus has just fed 5,000. And after he fed 5,000, a lot of people said, hey, this is great. Free barbecue tonight. They didn't even have a tithing plate out. I mean, just amazing. We're coming back tomorrow. But they weren't coming for Jesus. What were they coming for? For the barbecue, for the food. He fed 5,000 and they came back for more food. And I want you to know, Jesus wants to meet all of your needs. But we don't come to him to be rich. We don't come to him for those things. We come to him for him. And so Jesus did something interesting. He departed from them. He left. And he told his disciples to depart. And we're picking it up right there. Matthew 14, verse 20. Are you there? Matthew 14, verse 20. Let me pray as we open God's word. Lord, thank you for assembling all these men. You've called them by name. Lord, we think that we chose this, but Lord, we find out you chose us. This is your will that we would be here, Lord. Help us now to walk in and to experience knowing you. Help us to see your face, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would encourage the discouraged soul. Lord, those who are lonely, I pray that you would comfort and meet them where they are. Those who are hurting, Lord, those who are firing on all cylinders and they're just loving life, Lord, I pray that you'd meet them right where they are. And Lord, speak to us, strengthen us, and call us by name, Lord, for we want to see your face. We want to follow you. Help us to that end. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's men said? Amen. So Jesus has fed 5,000. Verse 20 says, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that remained. They had more food when they were done than before they started. And those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. That's the other side of the Sea of Galilee. While he sent the multitudes away, he sent them away because they were following for the wrong reasons. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Why were they in the boat? Go on the other side. And who told them to go to the other side? So are they in the center of God's will? Yes. And is there a storm? Yes. I want you to know that being in the center of God's will doesn't mean that life is easy peasy and you get sprinkles on your cupcakes. It's not what it means. Being in the center of God's will means you have God growing you, building you, discipling you, leading you, and equipping you for things that he has planned for your future. For things that he wants to do in your life today and things that he wants to do in your life a year from now. He is building you. You are here because he wants to make you a pillar in his church. You are here because he wants to make you a substantial leader in your family. You are here because he wants you to know what it means to be a man in a world that is so confused by it that dudes are doing wacko stuff. And sometimes, in his sovereignty, he allows us to go through a storm so that he might reveal his strength and build character that we can't have otherwise. We know this. We go to the gym, and when you work out, you keep pushing until it burns, right? And when it burns, you try to do a few more. And you try to increase your sets. And it doesn't feel good in the moment. But what happens with that? The next day you're sore. The next few days you're sore. But you go back and now you can increase your reps. You can increase your weight. You have more strength than before. Can I share with you? The physical represents the spiritual. The physical represents the spiritual. God does things in the world, in the physical, to show us how he works in our life spiritually. He just fed 5,000 when they didn't have near enough to do it. The physical represents the spiritual. That's what he does in our life. And so here he sends them. They're in the center of the will, their will. They're experienced fishermen, but now they come through the middle of this lake and there's a vicious storm, right? Jesus is up on the mountain praying, and the boat, verse 24, is in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. I don't blame them. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer in the middle of this storm. It's me. Don't be afraid. I'm with you." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And this is so cool. One word from Jesus. And Jesus said, "Come." You bet. In the middle of a storm, you want to walk on water? In the middle of the storm, you want to emulate me? In the middle of the storm, you want to put your fear aside and you want to do something that no man has ever done? You want to be a reflection, a image, I'm drawing a blank on it. Anyway, you want to be conformed into my image? Come. Absolutely, come. And look at this. So he said, "Come," verse 29. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, read these words with me out loud, big baritone voice. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many of you would like to be Peter at that moment? Walking on the water, approaching Jesus. That's amazing. Verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus rebuked him. No. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Immediately the wind ceased. What does that show he has power over? All of nature. And he makes Peter walk on water, and he himself is walking on water. And they go, "You are the Almighty God in the flesh among us." And they worshiped him. And what was once a storm was now a worship session. What was once a storm was now a man who had walked on water and emulated Jesus. And I want to encourage you, men. I want to encourage you in something. Find something difficult to do in your life. Or in other words... do hard things. Lift weights. And I'm not just talking about the gym, because that makes you strong. Do hard things. You were not built for comfort. You were not built for pleasure. And I want you to know, if you have pleasure or comfort that comes along your way, hey, great. I'm not against comfort. I'm not against a good time. I mean, wonderful. Life should be fun. But Don't make that what you're living for. Do hard things. Find something difficult to do. Don't be thinking your whole life is about playing golf or playing pickleball or going surfing. That's contemptible, man. Well, I'm just trying to get more homes and more cars and more whatever. That's what you're all about. Do something difficult. You say, like what? Like developing a selfless, Christ-like character. That's something difficult, man. That's something incredible. Like building an outstanding marriage. Like taking these blemishes that are on your wife and starting to wash her by the water of your word so that those blemishes start going away. That instead of her being a complainer, you're going to build her into a beautiful woman without spot or blemish. Build your children. Build your coworkers. Start being a builder of men. Do something difficult. Like what? Like having a Christ-like character. How many of you think that's easy? It's not easy. Jesus said, narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. And few there are that find it, because most people just go after living for comfort. And I want you to know there's no life in not living, in living for comfort. You were not created for comfort and hedonistic pleasure. And I can prove it to you. Look at those who have fame. Look at those who have just abundant wealth and fame. How is their life? There is no joy in living for those things. There is no honor. There is no respect. And it is not a meaningful life. Wealth and pleasure and ease and comfort do not give a man great character. And a man of corrupt character is not respectable. And I know something about you, because I too am a man. God has created us with a need to be respected. Do you know why? Women don't have that need. A woman's top need is security. A man's top need is respect, adoration. Do you know why? Because God created you to be respectable. And we try to forget this respect in such foolish ways. Having the nicest car, having the title, wearing the nicest clothes, being the best golfer. You know, it starts in Pop Warner, man. Go bust that guy, knock him down. And what are we searching for? For respect, man. But that respect was meant to be found in the character that Jesus Christ builds in you. You let him build that character in you, and you will have a respectable life, a meaningful life. Wealth and pleasure just won't do it. Character comes when we do what the Bible says, when we pick up our cross daily and we follow Jesus. And let me tell you something, that is not easy. That's difficult. Pick something difficult, man, and walk in it. Picking up our cross daily and following Jesus, that's a difficult thing to do. And because it's difficult to do, most are not willing to do it. Some men are willing to follow Jesus in this way. They believe that Jesus' words are true, and so they try to live a godly life. And they start off well, you know, and they go at it. And many men who try to live a life of purpose and meaning by following Jesus lose the vision and give up over time. And eventually they fail and they fall away. And let me ask you a question. Why is that? Why is it that many start to follow Jesus and they fall away? Jesus asked the question after this teaching. He then gave a teaching on you have to eat my blood and eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many left him. And Jesus looked at the disciples and says, do you guys want to leave? And you know what they were thinking? Kinda. Yeah. After Peter denied Jesus three times, he went back to his fishing business. You know why? Because following Jesus is what? It's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. And I don't want to sit here and tell you anything else. Oh, come to men's ministry. Everything's going to be amazing. No. Come to men's ministry and you're going to develop muscle. And you're going to bench press more next week than you did this week. And I'm not talking about weights. You understand that, right? You're going to be a builder of men. You're going to be a man with character. Your life's going to transform. Your wisdom's going to increase. Keep working out spiritually. Many men give up because it's hard. And I want you to know we're not immune. Storms are going to come our way. We're going to face setbacks. We're going to stumble. And you know what? We're going to fall. And we're going to fall a lot. And the natural man gets discouraged by his failure. He gets so discouraged that he says, you know what? I just don't want to feel that pain anymore. And he quits doing hard things. I don't want to feel that pain anymore. And he starts living for comfort. I don't want to feel that pain anymore. And he starts getting fat spiritually. And he becomes undisciplined and unscrupled and insubstantial. Is that a word, insubstantial? Becomes soft. Becomes weak. And his life becomes a hollow shell. And no one ever says to a man like that, dang, there's a great man. He goes golfing every day. He throws a tantrum when he doesn't get what he wants. His anger's out of control. He tries to impress people by how much money he has. There's a great man. You ever heard that? I don't think so. And his life becomes a hollow shell. And the truth is, no one respects a man like that. In my counseling over the years, marriage counseling, and you know, I've been a pastor a long time now. I've got a lot of gray hair. I've had men multiple times come into my office and tell me something like this. They're men that are basically living celibate lives. Men who have quit making love to their wife. And I'll look at them and I'll say, friend, you are missing out, man. What's going on? How'd you get here? How'd you go this route? How did this path come your way? And with disdain in their voice, they'll say something like this. I don't need her telling me one more thing I do bad. I don't need that pressure. So I'd rather be celibate and not have the hassle. Or I see guys who are single and they're single forever and they're like, yeah, having a relationship was too much work. Or they're in a marriage and they're like roommates now. They're not even intimate. And they're like, oh, the relationship was just too much work and we grew apart. And I embraced celibacy because I got tired of being disappointed. I got tired of saying, no, not tonight. No, not tonight. So I just gave up. And listen, I'm not saying life is about sex, but I am saying this is a picture. This is a picture of what happens to men when they get beaten down in life. They will settle for something that was way less than what God ever designed it to be, what God was calling you to be. You know how often you should be making love to your wife? Amen. Whenever you want. That is what the Bible teaches. But you have to be respectable for that to happen. You have to be living in a way that you are building your wife and taking care of her greatest need, which is security, and she sees you as being something substantial. And then, you know what? You will get whatever you want as often as you want it because your wife thinks you are amazing. And can I tell you something? This is God's design for marriage. And this is what I have. This is what I want you to have. It's what God wants you to have. Forget what I want. What I want means nothing. This is God's design. And again, I'm not saying life is about sex. What I am saying is, hey, let's be careful to not settle for a lesser experience than what God has designed. You only get one life. And there is a day coming when God is going to say, give an account of your stewardship. You cannot be steward any longer. You know, the people that died this morning, they had plans tonight. And the people that will die tomorrow, they had plans for next week. And just like you would not want to be married and be in a celibate marriage, let me tell you, you don't want to be in a life that isn't embracing the call of God upon your life and be chasing a pickleball or a golf ball or some other stupid thing. Now listen, I love sports and I love competing, but I love it in its proper lane. And so, because of pain, we settle for a lesser existence than God created us. Why? Because the pain caused by reoccurring failure when we get beat down so many times, we say, I don't want to deal with the pain of failing anymore, and we succumb to a mediocre existence. And it's totally understandable why this happens. You can only get kicked so many times, man. And so we quit being the man who does hard things. But I want you to know that's a pathetic existence. And many men have succumbed to living pathetically empty lives today. And what I am calling you to, and what I am reminding you of, and what Jesus is calling to you, and the Spirit and the bride would say this, men, embrace your role, embrace this call of God upon your life, and be respectable again. Walk in it. It's awesome. Embracing God's call upon our life is not a whimsical task. It is not easy. And Jesus is going to call us to do difficult things. He is going to send us out in the blackest of nights, through in a boat where the storms start to rage. And he's going to say, yeah, I wanted you to go through that. Why? Because I want you to walk on water, dude. I want you to reflect me. I want you to do things that no mere mortal man can do. Only a man led by the Spirit of God. That's the only one who could walk on water like that. Let me remind you what Jesus said. This is Luke 9 on your screens. Let me hear you read this. By the way, you're going to hear this a lot. I love nothing more than hearing the men of God's church, of Jesus' church, read his words. So let's read it thunderously. Then he, that's Jesus, said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That sounds hard. You bet. You bet. And you know why the lion is the king of the jungle? Because he does ferocious things. And you know why you are the top of the food chain in God's kingdom? You are the spiritual leaders of this church, the spiritual leaders of your home, the spiritual leaders in your community, because you are meant to conquer. And that can only be done when you're following Jesus, but it's not easy. Here's another one, Matthew 10. Let me hear you. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What's the it? The it is life. We'll find life, meaning, purpose, respect. Let me be clear, man. Being a man who picks up his cross and dies to his selfish desires and dies to his quest to live for comfort and focuses on living a selfless life so he can develop Christ-like character in his life, that's not going to be easy. And that's going to involve a lot of setbacks, a lot of failures. Can I tell you something? I fail all the time following Jesus. I fail all the time. You want an example? Sunday I said, I'm going to quit on time. I'm going to quit on time. I drove home so discouraged, man. And I had to wake up on Monday morning and say, get your hand to the plow. Go back at it. I fall in myriads of ways. I see the women and how they're dressed. I get frustration in my life. I'm no different than you. I'm not any more spiritual than you. I live by faith just like you do. I fall all the time. And man, let me tell you, it is discouraging to fail. No one likes failing. We all hate failing. But let me tell you something shocking. Failing is a regular part of following Jesus. What? Failing is a regular part of following Jesus. He can handle my failure, no problem. And he can still use me. He can handle your failure, no problem. And failure is a regular part of being a Christian. And it happens on a regular basis. In whatever area of your life you are trying to build Christ-like character, if you're doing it wholeheartedly, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall at times. Let me take that back. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall a lot. Peter did. How many times did Peter fall following Jesus? A lot. A lot. But what is the answer to our failure? Don't try walking on water. Is that the answer? But some of you have succumbed to that. You've lost the dream. And tonight I'm calling you back. Get out of your boat, man, and walk on water. Look like Jesus. Well, I'm not going to try walking on water. I just, it's hard. It's difficult. No, I mean, it's kind of impossible. What a bogus answer. You know, just put your Bible away and go get a remote control and flip through the TV and become fat. What a bogus answer. I'm not going to try walking on water because it's hard, man. I want you to know we will never walk on water with Jesus unless we try to walk on water with Jesus. And I want to try. And when we do try to walk on water with Jesus, you know what's going to happen? We're going to take a few steps and we're going to walk on water. And no one's going to be more surprised than who? You! No one's more surprised that you're all here tonight than me. And here we are. We're walking on water, baby. And we're doing things that the world looks at. They were watched you as you're waiting in line to get into church tonight, outside the door and turn the corner and like, what is going on at that place? And tonight you walked on water. You revealed Jesus to people. And it's encouraging when we walk in this path. I tell you what, man, Peter walked on water. Think of that. Say it with me. Peter walked. Imagine. He looked like Jesus. I don't know if it was 17 steps or 27 steps. But Jesus had come, and he did, and Jesus enabled him, and he looked like Jesus. I want to be that man. And I'd rather walk for 7 steps looking like Jesus and then fall and look like everybody else and then get right back up and walk 7 more steps looking like Jesus than saying, that's too hard. Do difficult things. Amen? And here's what happens. His grace is incredible. You say, I tried doing hard things, but the failure was too painful. From now on, I'm going to stay in the comfort zone. Go ahead. But you're going to be soft. You're going to be spiritually celibate. You're going to be limp. You're going to be dead. You're going to be unfruitful, and you're going to give life to no one. And your kids won't respect you. And they won't be the sons and daughters that you want. They won't have the character because it's your job to build those things in them. Couldn't believe it, man. Just this week, we started Awana. All our ministries are launching, and I've got a grandson in Awana, and he's 3 years old, and he got a special exception because he's only 3. He's in Awana, and we got him in there, and my son sends me a video of him learning his first Bible memory verse. And I'm watching my son build this boy. It's like amazing, just amazing, right? Giving life. It's impressive. But being comfortable is unimpressive. It's carnal. And it's an unsubstantial life. And it's worthy of no respect. And that kind of life brings no glory to God. And you were created to do that. And when you bring glory to God, man, your soul will feel its worth. You just know you're doing what God's called you to do. So let me ask, how do we deal with this failure that comes from picking up our cross and following Jesus? How do we do if we're going to fall? We're going to fall a lot. We're going to take a few steps and we're going to sink in the water. How do you deal with that kind of failure all the time? Well, the answer is so powerful. The answer is so supernatural. It is so life-giving that you might not even believe it. The answer to falling is the grace of Jesus Christ. And it changes everything in our life. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ is the sperm of new, victorious, transformed life. It is the impetus of new, victorious, transformed life. Not more effort. No. More what? More grace. Just like no woman ever gets pregnant without sperm, no Christian ever gets built without the grace of Jesus Christ. It is the impetus of a new, victorious, transformed life. Do you know how Peter walked on water? By the grace of Jesus Christ. And do you know how Peter got back up when he sunk in water? By the grace of Jesus Christ. And when he sunk, Jesus didn't say, "You're done. You're not my disciple anymore." He said, "No, I want you to learn from this. If you take your eyes off me and you look at the storm, you're going to lose faith. Keep your eyes on me and you'll walk on water in the midst of storms." And he was more ready for the next storm by the grace of Jesus Christ. My oldest son, Jordan, launched a company a few years back, and it was an advertising agency, and it started doing really well, and he wanted to make this investment, and I encouraged him not to go that route. He went that route anyway, and he made an investment, and it cost him $60,000 cash that he lost. And he called me one day, and he was pretty discouraged, and I could tell he was pretty discouraged. I said, "Hey, let's go play pickleball tonight." So we met at the pickleball courts and we played a few games, and afterwards we started talking. He said, "Dad, I did this and I thought this was the right thing, and I spent $60,000 and I've lost it all." And you know what my advice to him was? He said, "Jordan, sometimes you just have to spill some." And he thought I was going to say, "I told you not to do that," or "You've got to be more careful." And that wasn't my advice. My advice was, "Hey, way to go. You tried a hard thing. And sometimes you just have to spill some." Do you know how freeing that is? It put wind in his sails. It put strength in his spine. And he went back and started building again. And it's amazing what has happened in that company since that time. The grace of Jesus Christ is the impetus of new, victorious, transformed life. You have to bathe in it. It's so important. It's okay to fall. What's the answer? It's okay to fall. What's the answer? Absolutely. It's more than okay. It's required. It's inevitable. We cannot pick up our cross and follow Jesus and walk on water without falling at times. And let me give you a couple verses and we'll get you into groups. Galatians 2 on your screens. Let me hear you read this. This is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, think about that. Listen to his words. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Wow. I hope that sinks in. How can you frustrate God's grace? By not receiving it. By beating yourself up. By saying, "Oh, I'll do better next time." No, you won't. It's hard. Just accept the fact that you mess up every now and then. And allow God's grace to flow. One more verse for you here. This is Romans 5:20. Take this to heart. where sin abound, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in what? Sin reigns in death. Oh, you blew it. You failed. You're not any good. You might as well give up. Sin reigns in death. But look what he says. Even so, grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what else Paul would say in Romans? If by one man's sin, the whole world became sinful, how much more by one man's righteousness will all the world be made righteous? If sin flowed freely into all of our lives by one man's sin, how much more righteousness will be given to us freely with abundant grace by the one man, Jesus Christ? And so may we walk in victory to the glory of Jesus Christ. You were created to do meaningful things. You were created to do great things that are incredibly hard to do, like living a selfless life and being a builder of men and revealing the lordship of Jesus Christ in your actions. And when you do, the world will go, wow, look at how that man reveals Jesus, and live to be like that man. You're going to fall short at times. It's going to happen. But I want you to know God understands that, and his grace is sufficient. Shall we stand? I'm going to send you into the small groups with this verse on your lips. Take a look at Romans 8. Let me hear you read it. Read it without me. Did you hear it? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Rest of the verse. You have abundant grace at your disposal. May you walk in the glorious liberty of the grace of Jesus Christ. May you not frustrate his grace by beating yourself up. May you bathe in it, and may it inspire you so much that you say, Lord, there's none like you. I want to get back up after falling on my butt, and I want to walk with you. May God bless you.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.